Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to look in broad brushstrokes this morning at the reason for stewardship. Stewardship is an idea. Stewardship is an idea that we have things we're responsible for. We're going to build on this. We're going to build on the idea of stewardship, because many of you maybe are saying, what in the world does that word mean? Okay, do you know what a steward is? Like a waiter. It's kind of an antique word, isn't it? Kind of an antiquated word, a steward. Someone who's in charge, responsible for things. And so we are stewards. We ourselves are stewards of all sorts of things. You have responsibilities. Carrie's a steward of her home, of her children. Everybody in this room has stewardship over something. Forget spiritual. Everybody in this room is a steward. You have responsibilities over things that you have that have been placed in your position. It could be a job. It could be whatever it is. You're everybody in here is a steward. The children in this room, young people. You are a steward of your grades. You're a steward of your grades. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility in front of you. You're going to school. You have a responsibility to whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to include when you go to school. Do all to the glory of God. Everybody has stewardship of something. It could be small, it could be big. We have some people want stewardship of big things. Man, I wish that I were the pastor of a church of 1,000. Well, hold up, hit the brakes for just a minute. Why don't you be a good steward of the church of 50 and 60 and 75? So everybody's got their stewardship capacity, and we have to be faithful in all those areas. Stewards of what we have. And today I want to look at the very beginning. What is principally at the beginning? What is the principal things that we learn about stewardship at the very beginning? At the very, very beginning. And so I want to look Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I want to make several observations today. But we'll just begin reading here. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over... then that's fine. We don't even have to read the birds of the sky. The pertinent part there is that verse 26 says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them rule. Then let's look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day for all his work which he had done. Okay, principle number one, for several points I want to make this morning, and they're very basic. This is going to be very basic, okay? A very basic message. Number one, as it relates to stewardship, God made everything. Okay, get that. This is important to understanding biblical stewardship. God, it didn't just happen. Okay, we're not just here. God made everything. Does that make sense? This is an important starting place. We must not skip it if we're to understand stewardship. God made everything. Conversely, we own nothing. This is important. That's still one. It's just the other way of looking at point number one. God made everything. We own nothing. How much do you own? You own nothing. You own nothing. God made everything. God's the ruler. God created everything. God from nothing made everything. And we own none of it. We don't own any of it. If we don't understand this principle, then we start to think totally wrong. We get on stewardship on the wrong foot, believing that what we have is ours. And if we think that, then we're not ever going to be good stewards. If we don't understand that God made everything, we own nothing, then we're never going to be good stewards of our time, talent, treasure. Your time is not your time. It's God's time. Your talent is not your talent. It's God's talent. Your treasure is not your treasure. It's God's treasure. God made everything. God owns everything. You own nothing. If we don't understand that, then we're not going to be good stewards of our stuff as it relates to God. God owns everything. God made everything. You own nothing. You made nothing. Any questions about point one? This would be pretty simple. Okay, God made everything. God made everything. Now, this is number two. Number two. So God made everything, you own nothing. Number two. He left everything for us to steward. Number two, he left everything for us to steward. One of the reasons why I think this is important, so God made everything. We own nothing, but God left us everything to steward, to be responsible for. One of the reasons why it is impossible to put God, I don't know if you remember this in the Prodigal Son series, we made a point that's an important point, and that is that the Pharisee wants to put God in the Pharisee's debt, right? Remember that? So we want God to owe us. One of the reasons that doesn't work is principally this. We can't put God, we don't own anything to put over God. We can't put God in our debt because it's God's. I can't hold anything from God and say, if you don't do this, I'm not going to do this. Hold on. You can't do that because the thing you're trying to withhold, God owns. You can't put God in your debt. You can't. God is not going to be in your debt. You can't withhold something from God because it is God's. So manipulating God doesn't work. It's all God's. He owns it. He has it. He owns it. And he gives it to us in order to do it. But it's not yours. It's not yours. One of the great things about Christmas is the opportunity that I have to go shopping for, and in particular, when this happened more obviously when they were young, when the girls, Addie and Chloe, and Micah when he was younger. Micah now has a job. He's gainfully employed. So this is no longer an issue with Micah. But the other girls, they make money here and there and they save their money. But when they go out to shop, for our Christmas gifts, they are using our money to buy us gifts. So what I'm saying, right? They didn't get a job. They go, and so whoever, they're shopping for Kelly or whatever, and I go out, let's go pick something for Mom for Christmas. And it's, of course, Kelly and I don't get ahead in that game. That there's no net increase in our net value because we're buying something for ourselves in their name. Does that make sense? Oh, well, we're not getting ahead. We're not getting ahead. Now, we get ahead in this other way that I love that they thought of that particular gift and that energy and effort to make us happy. It makes me happy. So I get a lot out of it, above and beyond the finances. But in point of fact, Ben, we don't get ahead. In point of fact, they are buying stuff for me for money that is mine. And it's a hilarious illustration, isn't it? You know what? That is exactly what God does and how we are with God's money. And our things that we have that's ours, and we say, well, God, I'm going to give you my time on Sunday morning. I'm going to give that and be faithful and give you my time. God's not looking up at you saying, well, what a great sacrifice. That's his time. He's not getting ahead because of your sacrifice of time. God, I'm going to give you finances today or my talent today. I'm going to give you, listen, it's the same thing as my daughters buying me when they're 5 years old, Christmas gifts out of my money. You're not advancing anything from God's point of view. It's his. It's his. There's nothing, God just wants you to manage it well. And when you manage it well, he's not saying, oh, that's great, what a great sacrifice. You didn't make a sacrifice, it's his. It's almost a misnomer to say it's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. I mean, I know the Bible uses the word sacrifice, but understand, it's all his. And you're stewarding it for him. That makes sense. So 2 points. Anybody could have preached this. Anybody could have preached this message today. God made everything. Who couldn't have preached that? God made everything. You own nothing. And God gave you everything to steward for his benefit. Your time is not your time. It is God's time. You're using it to steward for his benefit. How many following the message so far? Easy, right? Easy. All right. This is basic. This is good stuff. Good stuff. How in the world, Pastor, did you take hours to prepare this? I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. When I sit back and I think about it, I get it. So I don't believe that you spent hours. I did. I promise. There was hours spent here. So he left everything for us to steward. Now, this is important. This is important. When we're talking about stewardship, this is important and it's critical. Point number three, and if some of you aren't going to like this point, and some of you, particularly young people I find object here. I think they're going to object. And this is it. Work is good. Work is good. When we're talking about stewardship, what we're principally talking about is the capacity for us, and we'll learn this as we go into the New Testament. It's the parable of the talents, where we're going and we're doing things in order to increase what God has given us to steward it. So fundamental to stewardship is the idea that work is involved. Work is involved, and work is good. Let us notice that work is principal at the very beginning of the creative order. God created things. God worked. As a matter of fact, on verse, let's just read verse 26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them rule over. That's the idea of stewardship. Rule over. They had the principal responsibility, verse 26, chapter 1, to rule over what God has done. That's stewardship. It's right there. Chapter 1, the very first chapter of the Bible. And ruling over includes work. God's creating. God is working. God is working such that in chapter 2, by the seventh day, verse 2, he completed his, notice the word, verse 2. Verse 1. Yeah, verse 2. You were on it. There it is. By the seventh day, God completed his work. Work is good. Work is ordained by God. It is necessary for good stewardship. Laziness is not built into good stewardship. Good stewardship is predicated on people that know that God has had given us a responsibility to rule over things, to reign over things, to administer his will through the things that he's given us to the glory of God. That's working. That's a good thing. This is principally important. God's word says, this is interesting. I was studying this week, and the word create in the, right here in chapter 1, in chapter 2, is only used of God. It's only used of God, ever, anywhere. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, it's only ever found in the Old Testament. That word is so unique to God. It's only used of God and only used in the Bible in the Hebrew text. Create. Just a unique word. But words like this, man, God has all over the place in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Make. Rule. Let's see, I had a list of a few words. Make. Shape. Work. All words that we're responsible for. Important words. Action. Verbs. God creates, but once it's created, we have responsibilities in that to do all sorts of creative things, to use our capacity and talents to make things and to shape and form things and to do things with our gifts and abilities. That's our responsibility, and all that's work. All that's work. You don't understand. I was reading this week, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 was groundbreaking, this idea that God works was groundbreaking in the time this was written thousands and thousands of years ago, in the times of the Babylonians, the times of the Greeks, that this account of creation is profoundly groundbreaking and is unlike anything that was heard at the time. In the Enuma Elish, this is a Babylonian story. This is in a Babylonian account of the beginning. Okay, so every culture had accounts of the beginning of the world. And in the Enuma Elish, apparently, this Babylonian story was a very, very popular story back in the day. And there's a battle of the gods, and the god that won that battle, all the gods got together and they start fighting. And one god, in this account, this Western account, this Eastern account of creation, Marduk wins. Marduk wins, and he decides that he's the winner. He's the god of all gods, Marduk, and he decides that he's going to make a planet, to make a world. It explains everything that we have, right? So he created everything. And he says, I'm going to allow the gods to enjoy and appreciate this planet, Earth. And all the gods come back to Marduk and say, well, hold on. That seems like a lot of work to manage, keep up with this creative thing. Who wants to work? We're out. Work is bad. We don't want to work. And so what Marduk did was he said, well, okay, I'll create a lowly creature to work because it's beneath God to work. We're going to create lowly creatures called humans, and they're the ones that are going to do the menial task of work. Well, that's interesting because in the creative account that we find in Genesis, God is very much at work. He doesn't shy away from it at all. And we aren't given work as a toil and a task beneath us. It is given priority. Indeed, God puts Adam to work in the garden. Paradise had work. It is good and honored and valued. There's another account. This one you're probably a little bit more more familiar with, but it's an account. How many has ever heard of Pandora's box? The Greeks came up with that one. So Pandora's given a box, and you know the story. You know the story. When she opens the box, everything negative comes out of the box. Death and destruction and decay comes out of that. You know what else came out of Pandora's box? Work. Work came out of that. Listen, listen, the Greeks, both Western and Eastern accounts of creation all around the world view work as negative, but God's word makes work a positive, a God-ordained thing, something that God does, something that God puts in. As a matter of fact, I think it's interesting in a moment, God, the soil, Socrates viewed menial work as something really bad, and dirt as something beneath, that kind of menial task as beneath. And yet God, again, totally groundbreaking. The story in Genesis 1 and 2 is groundbreaking as it relates to work, because all of the ancient cultures viewed work as negative, viewed working in the soil as negative. And yet God goes and he gets in the dirt, which the cultures at the time, Greek and Western cultures, viewed as beneath man to work in the dirt. Yet God forms man from the dust of the earth. You know, God's not afraid to get his hands dirty. And aren't we thankful that God was not a God to shy away from work, to shy away from getting his hands dirty to create us? Work is good and it should be valued. And if you're not doing good with work, you're never going to have anything that you have to steward for God. You must take work seriously. Work is good. I want to talk about this real quick. Just a few points, side points. When we work, what are the ways that we should look in terms of the way that we steward the work that we have, the things that we have? These are side points. You could call them 3A if you want. I don't care. We are to look inward. What about work? What about stewarding? We're to look inward. Notice again verse 26. Chapter 1, let us make God in our image. Why is it that we should steward things? Why is it that we should work in a way that honors God? Because that is part of the creative order. God's word in verse 26 here says, let us make man in our image. Part of the image of God is that we have stewardship over things. It's the very next thing that he says. As we define image of God, at least has to be partly this. He says, let us make God in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule. The reason why it's important that we work and we steward the things of God well is because it's part of who God made us. Inwardly, God made us in his image to be stewards of things, to be rulers and reigners of things, to be over things. It's part of being in the image of God. We must look in to understand why it is that we should work and take seriously our responsibility to work and steward things of God in a manner appropriate. Number two, so we're to look inward. We're to look outward. We're to look outward. Notice chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Again, work it, to work it, to keep it. Let us look outward. When I read that, I think that What in the world would Adam be in the garden for? Keeping it for who? For others. As God knew that this world would be multiplying, that he would be given Eve, that there would be responsibilities above and beyond himself, that he's keeping it and cultivating it. As we work, as we have what we have to steward for God, we ought to look outward. We ought to look in. This is the calling of God on my life. This is who I'm called to be. This is part of the image of God. This is part of being in the image of God, is to be someone who has authority over things. Okay, that's part of it. Okay, beyond that, beyond looking in, look out. I have a responsibility not just to steward this for myself, but I have a responsibility to keep up with the planet, in the case of my time, talent, and treasure. I have a responsibility to steward that not just because that's who I am, but also because others will benefit. Because others benefit from my stewardship. I'm looking in, I'm looking out. I'm a good steward because I want to be a good steward in Christ, because I am stewarding it for the purpose of others, to bless others. It's others centered. If you do work in order to make you feel good, and by the way, I think that you ought to do something that you like to do. One of the things I tell Mike is, as he thinks about finding a job in the future, find what you like. There's nothing worse than working at something you hate. But the flip side of that is if it becomes only about you and how you feel, that's a problem. That's a problem. Your work, because then work is only self-satisfying. When you work, biblical stewardship involves your stewardship being for the purpose in part of others. You're looking in, looking out. And then clearly we're looking up. It's what we talked about just a moment ago, that our work, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever you do to include work, do all to the glory of God. Our work, our stewardship involves glorifying God. And then I think you'll like this end. We're almost done. So three things this morning is by way of review. Again, God made everything. We own nothing. He left everything for us to steward. Work is good, and our work ought to involve looking out, looking in, looking out, and looking up. And then, this is important, in good stewardship. Number four, rest is necessary and good. Rest, what did God do? I love this picture of God. Worked 6 days, he rests on the seventh. I think that hard work requires hard rest. Hard work requires hard rest. One of the negatives about the culture that we live in America, this culture that I rather appreciate and love, this entrepreneur culture of going out and doing what you can and working hard, and part of the negative of that kind of overachiever culture is that people, that achieving a lot becomes God for them. That getting ahead becomes a god. That work in itself becomes a god. That the objective is to get more. And I said, Ben, you know, one thing about Sundays is when I go home, if I take a 2-hour nap, if I get in bed at 2 o'clock today and I wake up at 4:30, it is the one time in the week I've trained myself. I do not feel guilty in the least. I do not feel guilty in the least. I don't allow myself to feel guilty. I just rest. And whatever that means, if it means that I sleep, if it means I don't sleep, I just rest. And I also, now this is just my way of seeing it. I don't try to do anything. Now, Sunday, I obviously worked. I'm working now. But Sunday, beyond this, when I leave here, I try to do nothing to get ahead. I don't do anything to get. I try not to do anything. I don't load a dishwasher if I can avoid it. Oh, well, then I don't have to do it tomorrow. I don't want to get ahead. I don't want to get ahead. I don't want to advance on Sunday. I need a day where I'm not advancing. I can let all that go, all the pressure to get ahead, all the stuff that drives me, and I can just say, God, this is your day. I'm just resting. I'm not getting ahead. I don't have to cut the grass. That can wait till tomorrow. I don't have to bag leaves. That can wait till tomorrow. Now, teenagers, don't use that against your parents. Obedience. I'm giving you, the thing is about rest is at some point you need to break the tendency to have to use your time to get ahead. True rest is saying, God, I don't need to get ahead. You're going to take care of my tomorrow. I can rest here. I can just rest, be passive, be with my family. I can do things that aren't work-related. Everybody understand what I mean by work-related? There's got to be, it doesn't have to be Sunday, but you ought to take one day out of the week where you completely rest. You do not get ahead. You let everything go and you say, today is the Lord's day. I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to rest. It's His. I'm not getting ahead. I'm not advancing my plan. I'm not advancing my thing. As hard as I work, I'm going to be as intentional. God gives you 6 days to work. Work hard. On the seventh day, rest. Rest hard. Don't get ahead on that day. Rest. Rest. I think if we did a better job at resting and letting God just have it, not having the pressure of having to get ahead, the dishwasher, whatever it is, all that, just rest on one day, then we'll get revived to work hard 6 days. So rest. Rest is important. We will be better stewards. I'm convinced we will be better stewards of what we do with what we have, if we work hard 6 days and we rest hard day seven. Well, what is work? What is work? Didn't the Pharisees try to, well, listen, work is getting ahead. Oh, well, it's not hard. It's not hard work. I'm just sitting here doing this little thing. Rest is, work is getting ahead. Rest. Break the tendency that you have to get ahead. Rest, rest, rest. It's not about labor. It's about saying, God, you're in control. I don't have to have this day seven. I can let this go and rest. Maybe that was for somebody today. That's my Sundays. That's my Sundays. I definitely can just rest and I try not to do anything to get ahead. So today, this has been a different kind of message this morning. I trust that it was a blessing to you. Three things. God made everything. He owns everything. He left everything for us to share. Number two, work is good. We should look in. We should look out. We should look up with our work. And rest is necessary. Rest is necessary. Kind of a beginning, broad brushstroke message on stewardship this morning. I trust that you receive that message and that you will apply it.